disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning to you there, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're excited about I'm looking for something here in my old King James Bible here. Trying to say I just had something pop into my head and I'm looking to find it to see exactly where it is. I can never I use this verse all the time. You think I would be able to just turn to it and pop it. But I can't. So I'm gonna ask somebody out there to help me real quickly. Find out where it says who do men say that I am? I think is it Matthew 13? Is it Luke 13? Because I just heard from the Holy Spirit. I want to direct you to something. We live in crazy times, don't we? I mean, I've been pondering more and more and more. I have brain freeze this morning on scripture. I got brain freeze. I know exactly where it is and I have brain freeze. It's not Mark. It's another one. There's another one, I think. Another reference to it. Other than Mark. You know, I got thinking even more and more about this recent Supreme Court decision.
It's Matthew 16, 13.
There you are, brother. There you are. Matthew 16. Thank you. Pull that up there, dude. I'm gonna take it somewhere. I think there's actually two recent Supreme Court decisions, and I don't want to talk about politics today. I know I told you yesterday that we were going to talk about the divine counsel today. And we may scrape in a little bit on that, but I'm going to tell you something, man. You want to see, this is part of the problem in Christianity. Theology colors everything that you do, you and me. Here's what happens to us. I believe we have a set of beliefs, and then we go out and we read a scripture or several scriptures or a sermon or whatever. And you know that we all do this, right? We all pull this scripture in to reinforce what we said and pull this scripture in to reinforce what we said and pull this scripture in to reinforce what we said. And it all begins on the fact that we pick out a position and then we search out the scriptures to defend that position. And the hardest thing that for all of us to do, including me, I fight with it all the time. I try to just pick up the Bible and just read the Bible and just read what it says. Just read what it says. And then we, you know, say, well, I don't understand that really. So I'll go to the Matthew Henry commentary and then I'll have Matthew Henry tell me what he thinks. Well, it's good, except Matthew Henry is coming from a set system of belief. And so the problem that you have whenever you try to introduce something, a topic that we really don't hear. See, bear with me here, because what I'm trying to say is really, really critical. I really believe you serve the God you see. You serve the belief you hold. All of us do. All of us. Scripture says that you shall know them by their fruit. In other words, you watch the way they live and you know what they believe. You watch the way a man lives and you know what he serves. And for most of us, we justify through the scriptures what we believe. And I've often said, and I don't think the Bible contradicts itself. I don't in any way, shape, or form, I'm not any way, shape, or form saying that. But I can go right now to the Bible. And I can show you where tongues, speaking in other tongues, is all throughout the scripture. And then I can go and I can show you why speaking in tongues is not for today. I can do both. And so then as a believer in Jesus, the believer in the gospel, I tend to stake out a position and then I go look for evidence to support it. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And one of the things that I've always tried to do in the nearly 5 years that we've been doing this now, golly, I don't believe it's been that long, is I try to come with a clean slate. Every one of us are influenced by someone else. Every one of can I tell you, Russ Dizdar influences me. L.A. Marzulli influences me. But I can go to I can walk into many, many churches, and I could read Genesis 6, where it talks about the sons of men coming down and have sex with the daughters of women. And I can walk into a church, and I can have somebody tell me that was not, that's not referring to giants. That's not what that's about. And I believe that is because they have staked out a belief. They don't really believe in the Nephilim. They don't really believe in it. And so every time they get into the Bible, they turn to their favorite verses to justify their theology. Am I making sense? I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm trying to point out to us a lot of times, I don't repair things very well. Mark Trump can fix anything, it seems like. I don't know how to do it. And my brother-in-law is the same way. My brother-in-law, Carl, is the exact same way. Carl would tell you he's not a learned man. Reading, writing, arithmetic wasn't his gift. But Carl can fix anything. And I could be sitting in front of a lawnmower and I can't get the lawnmower to run. Or I could be sitting in front, it doesn't matter what it is. And Carl come walking up and he'll look over my shoulder and he'll say, well, Dave, have you considered this? And he'll point right at the problem. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Different people have different giftings, right? Have you considered this? So, man, no, I didn't consider that. So what are you saying, Coach? I'm saying this, that you serve the God you see. When you serve the God you see. I'm in first, thank you, Alan, got us into Matthew 16, I believe it is, 16:13. That's why I have trouble with it. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, remember I was going to talk about the divine counsel. I'm explaining in a second why I'm not. Hey Jared, do me a favor, just as kind of to be illustrative here. Google search divine counsel. Google search it. Now, folks, you will go pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of opinions on the divine counsel. Many of them contradicting one another. Pages and pages and pages and pages and pages and pages and pages. Each one written from somebody's perspective. And so as I said, you know, I want to do a little bit of a teaching. How about a discussion on the divine counsel? I got to be honest with you. I came away more confused than when I first started researching it. Because we all come from a different perspective. Making sense? So Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, say, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, you know, the Baptists say you're this, and the Lutherans say you're this, and the Methodists say you're this, and the Catholics say you're this, and the Presbyterians say you're this, and the non-denominational say you're this, and the Mormons say you're this, and the Amish, they say you're this. And Jesus said, oh, my goodness. He started shaking his head. So, God, are you kidding me? Oh. And they said, some say you all these other guys. Jesus, let's cut all that stuff out. Let's cut all that crap out, will you, boys? Here's the most piercing question in all Christianity, in my opinion. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? We have a very, very difficult time understanding things that we can't conceive of because we're trapped in this earth suit. We are trying to explain supernatural things to natural beings. It's almost, folks, you know, you go to the book of Revelation, you talk, Just read the book of Revelation and all the different images and references that John made to trying to explain to us what was soon to come upon the earth. He couldn't even explain what it was because they didn't have TVs. I mean, they didn't have movies. How would you explain some? How would you explain a helicopter? How would you explain that, right? And so, as a result of it, we have to keep in mind as we study the scriptures. Me, I'm talking about now. I got to keep in mind, who do I say he is? Who do I say he is? Because God is not manipulated by the beliefs and theology and thoughts of man. He's not manipulated by it. And I remember Kent Hovind, Dr. Kent Hovind told me one time, I asked the question, how come some of the Bible's confusing? And he said, well, it's not really confusing, coach. He said, there's a couple things that we have to keep in mind here. Some things are the mind of Christ, and the mind of man is not able to conceive it. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. It does not make sense to the carnal mind. Can't explain them. It's unexplainable. When Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth, as Mark Trump would say, there's a lot of data there, isn't there? All power? What does that mean? All power. Because I hear people will say, well, coach, if all power is given into Jesus, then how come children get sick and die? If all power has been given unto him. And Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to purpose. Doesn't say everything's good. Says there's going to be good that's going to come out of it. Why? Because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we cannot conceive and understand. Secondly, Dr. Hovind said, not only were there some things we couldn't understand, but there were some things he didn't want us to understand. Certain things he wanted us to capture and grasp totally and completely on faith. If everything in the Bible could be proven, it would take no faith. Take no faith. And the third thing is, we didn't have the capability to be able to understand it. So when you pick up Genesis 1, you just read Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We do not have the ability to even conceive what that means. In our little carnal minds, we try to figure it out. And so much of what we do, Bible commentaries, are simply men trying to explain sometimes the unexplainable. You with me? And so, that's how denominations get. I was doing some research 3 days ago because I was going to do a show on denominationalism because that's our greatest weakness, denominationalism. That's the greatest weakness of the body of Christ. People identify as Methodists and couldn't even really tell you what a Methodist is. Or they said, well, they're a Methodist. I said, okay, what? How do you differ from the Baptists? And they don't know. They're a Methodist. What do the Baptists believe? Well, I don't know. I'm a Methodist. Well, why are you a Methodist? Well, I was raised Methodist. All right. What's the difference between a Methodist and a Lutheran? I don't know. Well, why aren't you a Lutheran? Because I'm a Methodist. Well, why are you a Methodist? Well, I was raised Methodist. You follow the line of thinking? And so the enemy does a great job of dividing us on theological beliefs. Doctrinal beliefs. So I did a little bit of research on what are the differences in denominations. And, you know, it was almost laughable. It was almost laughable because the differences in most of them are ceremonial, most of them. Do you sprinkle? Do you submerge? Do you baptize as an infant? Do you have to be old? Is there an age accountability? Are you saved by grace? Are you elected or selected? Do you choose God or does God choose you? And so if I said to you right now, whatever your denomination is, how does your denomination, can somebody tell me right now? Just, I'll give you one
where we're different. Well, at least I woke up this morning knowing that the Southern Baptists believe that marriage is one man and one woman. Now that may be changing, but as of this morning, they do believe that is what the Bible teaches.
All right. But Roger, all of the denominations teach that.
Well, if you go into an Episcopalian church this morning, things may be changing.
Well, they're evolving, Roger. They're evolving.
I think they've evolved past the Southern Baptists, and they've evolved into you can be whatever you want.
Right, right. So they go back. See, evil men crept in unawares. At the founding of the Episcopal Church, a man married a woman. They all agreed on that, right? They certainly all agreed on that, founding of the Episcopal Church.
Things could be changing.
And so we go back to this. I'm circling around. Stay with me. So the civil rights thing that the Supreme Court just passed, creating a new sexual classification of people, which is really what they did. When the Civil Rights Act was written in 1964, homosexuality was a crime. Homosexuality was a crime in 1964. So it wasn't included in the Civil Rights Act, right? But because people, listen to me, because people have theological beliefs about homosexuality, we saw the government force the church to evolve on the position of homosexuality. So now you look at the Methodists, are they for it or against it? I think they're for it, aren't they? Open hearts, open doors, open minds. Isn't that what that slogan's really all about? Where are the Catholics standing on homosexuality? Where are they standing on it now? Where are the Baptists standing on it now? So we're seeing an evolution in Christianity because of the world. The world is the salt of the church. The world is changing the church. I think we have it backwards. So let me get back so I can get going. Who do men say that I am? They say some say you're John the Baptist. Some, all these different denominations that you are. Can you flip that back up on the screen, Jared? because Peter said, well, hang on, Alan. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. First revelation that a man had of who Jesus was. It was the first one. In fact, it blew Jesus away. Jesus answered, holy smoke, Simon. How did you find that out? Where did you hear that? Because you didn't hear that from any man. Flesh and blood's not revealed unto you, huh? Buddy, that was a download from my Father in heaven. And I'm saying to you that from now on, you're Peter. And upon this rock, see, that's not the Pope. The rock wasn't the Pope. Peter wasn't the first Pope, which is what the Catholics would tell us. And some people told me, I learned when I went into evangelificism, that rock was the revelation of who Jesus was. That's what they like to tell us, see. Well, there it is. There's the revelation of who Jesus is. That's the rock. That's the rock. But all of us have different perceptions of who Jesus is, so that couldn't be it, right? He said, you're Peter. And see, I think it's a literal rock. They're standing at the gates of hell. And I think he said, upon this rock right here, buddy, at the gates of hell, we're going to build a church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against us. And he said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, hey, how about that one? Could we have a theological discussion on what it means to bind and loose? Could we go some places on that? And again, it comes from our own personal theological understanding. Saying what? Going back to what I said before. And the divine counsel. Golly. I want to get my feet sure on it before I start teaching on. I believe there's such a thing as a divine counsel. I hope I haven't wasted 20 minutes. I think his stuff is important. And I think one of the things that I learned as a young football coach is I'll never forget. John Cooper was a football coach at Ohio State University. And we were over there. Every once in a while, he could make an appointment with some of his coaches, and you could go and talk about their defense, talk to their defensive coordinator, talk to their offensive coordinator. How do you do this? How do you do this? And they're good guys. They'd sit down, they'd talk to you, and they'd go over their program. And so we were looking at something that Ohio State was doing, and they were laying it out. And John Cooper walked into the room, and he listened for a few minutes, and then he said something that was really, really profound. He says, let me tell you something, and I think it's really important. He said, you better teach what you know, or you're going to get your ass beat.
Amen.
You better teach what you know instead of trying to not know what you're teaching, right? So I just want to be real, real careful when I dive in there that I don't want to get my butt beat. Come on in, Alan.
Now, Coach, I was just going to say, when you're talking about you don't know where the Catholics stand on homosexuality, well, I think their stance, and I'm talking about the hierarchy now, right, but the hierarchy stance on pedophilia.
Hang on a minute, Alan. Folks, that is so critical. That is so critical. From where the hierarchy stands and where the individual stands, those are so different. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so where the hierarchy, their statement that they're making to me and my little two-cent opinion is the way they stand with pedophilia, it kind of shows me where they stand with homosexuality.
Well, I would say it's this, Alan. I think that their stance on pedophilia has to do with their financial responsibility for what happened. That's why I think they're very, very guarded on what they say about it. Because as we know, there's millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars at stake, lawsuits for what have been done to them by evil priests. Not all priests are evil. We all know. It's the same thing, right? You shouldn't even have to say that. Not all pastors are evil. Not all black people are evil. Not all white people are racist. We shouldn't even have to say that, right? Evil men with evil hearts. That's what we're talking
Amen.
About.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I visit the Catholic priest. He tried to convert me. But I found out his staff lets the political party define who they are, not God.
Well, Jeff, I would say that's happening in Protestantism. You don't think Robert Jeffress and Paula, you don't think these people are being controlled by the Trumpsters? Come on, man. That's true everywhere. It's true everywhere. Dan Cathy, pull that up there, Jared. I think I just sent you to that one. Mr. Chick-fil-A, right? Mr. Chick-fil-A. I'm trying to get my own computer. I think I just sent it as a standalone one, Jeff. Jared, look at Mr. Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy. Huh? Remember him, don't you? Remember they close on Sundays because they serve, they won't do Chick-fil-A. We're a good Christian company. We don't serve chicken on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. We're good Christians. And then the homos come in and whatever it was, and they've been a little bit on the homos. And now look right here. Chick-fil-A CEO suggests white people shine the shoes of black people to express shame over racism. Meaning what? Well, bad theology. We have bad theology at work here, right? That's all it is. Dan Cathy's probably a great guy. Bad, 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 bad theology. And where did he get his theology? Somebody taught it to him. And I don't know if I can tell you this. For instance, if Dan Cathy's a Baptist, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I bet he's never set foot in a Methodist church. I bet he's never spent the first 5 seconds in a Presbyterian church. I bet he's never spent, well, maybe he's been to an evangelist church. He may have visited one of those. But see, it's like denominationalism is like a racism. We believe this. What church do you go to? I go to the Methodist church. Oh, okay. Where do you go? Oh, we go to the Baptist church. You guys ever worship together? I look at each other, what? We're Methodists, and we're bad. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I feel discriminated against, Coach, because my people didn't even get over here till 1918.
Well, Alan, guys like you, we were very, very, very picky with our borders, and we had people out watching out for folks like you. That's probably why. So there's Dan Cathy. I don't know. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? It's just unbelievable. And so it works both ways. And one of the points that I've been trying to make is I'm not going to be controlled. Folks, listen, I don't care what they call me. I will not be controlled by groupthink. I won't do it anymore. I don't care if they call me racist. I don't care if they call me anti-Semitic. I couldn't care less about it. I'm going to speak the truth, and this truth I'm going to speak is going to set me free. And I'm going to be free to say what I want to say. And the world would be a lot better off if we didn't have so much political correct thought that there are certain things that you're not allowed to believe. Can somebody tell me why I'm not allowed to believe something?
Dave.
Yeah.
Go. Please, unity. Yeah. You know, those who are discord. You know, unity, brother. Now, come on.
Amen, Roger. So why would I get in trouble, which I would, if I repeated what one of my friends said? Now, listen, I'm not saying this, okay? I'm just repeating what one of my friends said. He pointed out something to me, and I didn't have a good answer for me. He said to me, hey, Coach Dave, can you explain to me why the Jews control all the banks? Now, I wanted to shame him. I wanted to call him a name and say, you're not allowed to think like that. You're not allowed to ask that question. Because that's racist or that's anti-Semitic. How did we get to the point where you cannot look at A, B, and C and ask questions about A, B, and C? Can I show you something? Let me show you something else here real quick. Go ahead. Come on in. Hey, Jared.
Coach, get that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was wondering if this man was referring to foot washing.
I think so.
Said that.
I think so. I think that's what it is. Shine the shoes. That's a form of foot washing, probably. Joseph. Hey, listen. I want to give you a warning. I got some bad language coming up. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Jared, pull up there where it says looting, folks. If there's a little kid that you don't hear the F word, okay, the F word's coming up here in this video I'm going to play. Now I'm going to ask you something. See, I will be called racist for this. I will be called racist for this. But I want to ask the question. How can anybody watch what you're about to watch and not question? This is a culture from hell. What you're about to see is a culture from hell. This is looting, folks. Shoes. Shoes. Now, am I allowed, if I look at this video, what you're about to look at here, and you're going to watch some of this, and you're going to ask yourself, what in the is going on? Are you racist?
Hey, Coach, who are these people?
Are you racist? Are you racist to watch these people act like this? If you'd never, ever seen a black person in your life, and somebody showed you this video, wouldn't you scratch your head and say, what the? What? Go ahead and play this. Go ahead and play this, Jared. Looting. This is Michael Massey.
Sweetheart, is this your car? Did you leave your car to go get some sneakers? What did you get? At least show me what you got. Show me what you got since you left your car. Hold on, let's see. Let's see what you got here. Let's see. Let's see what you got. You left your car in traffic, ma. You got right? You good? That's what I'm talking about. She crazy. These motherfuckers is crazy as hell. Come on, ma. Damn, the pregnant chick got right. This shit crazy. Yo, this shit crazy, boy. Rover for president. Rover for president. Boy, you know the vibes. I learned the algorithm from Rover. Look, them niggas ain't playing. Them niggas ain't playing. They going to get them Team Jordans right now. God damn, niggas is still coming out. What you got, bro? Let me see what you got. Big bro, what you got? Let me see what you got. She came out here with a cooler. Niggas got Tims out here. Oh, oh damn, big bro, you came up, up. Niggas is, niggas ain't playing. Niggas got Tims out here. Yeah, because that shit she did was dirty. Niggas is on the curb, all that. Curb shit, that's what I'm talking about. Curb side curb. She going back. She ain't playing. She going back. She going back.
This shit looks sweet.
Can somebody get me a Yankee hat? I'll pay you.
Where's my
puppy? Oh, yo, yo,
yo. Yo, hold on. Let me see those. Let me see those. That's what I was looking for. Let me see those. Where Big Bro at?
Sell items now.
He's like, yo, you got the chick in the wheelchair coming, my nigga. I quit. The chick okay, in the wheelchair is about
you
to get.
Can shut it off. Now, is that racist to show that?
Hey, coach, did you put a family advisory warning up before you put that up?
You needed to, huh?
What the heck was all that?
Oh, they did on the show, coach. Hey,
coach. Yeah,
it's coach really, Silver. It's really hard to shine sneakers.
I think it is not.
Yes, sir, boss. I guess you got to throw that in. I can't believe it.
Yeah, David is not considered racist if you balance it with a similar situation at Tractor Supply.
Good line.
What are you saying, Roger? What are you saying?
I'm just saying, if you balance it with a
I'm glad they wear their mask.
There's two questions here, right? There's two questions here. What would make white people might act the same way? I'm not, you know, white people might make this up. But when we hey Vinny, when we see things like this, what are we naturally supposed to think?
Oh. Listen, there's no thinking involved going on here. That's the first thing to say. There's not one ounce of brain cell being used in any of this. Not one.
So if some hill jack living down in who the heck knows where, West Virginia, sees a video of this, what does he naturally think about blacks?
Look at all these crazy you-know-whats.
Right, huh? Right.
Now, Coach Hilljack, that's a racist comment.
Well, yeah, they all are. Aunt Jemima, Aunt Jemima. You with me? Coach. Now, hang on. We do the same thing denominationally, don't we? Don't we classify people according? Don't we ask people, what religion are you? Because we want to classify where they are.
That's it.
You want a mic drop? You want a mic drop, Coach?
Sure.
John 5:19, this is the pool and the healing there. But Jesus himself made a very profound statement. And he said this in John 5:19. They were looking to get him because they were the religious people and you had to do it their way. Jesus said unto them, truly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Brother, we think that we've got all the solutions if we'll do it our way. Mm-hmm. We're looking at everything horizontal and not vertical. We can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Jesus himself said, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. We can't do this, brother. We can't get this. We think our denominational ways, this is the way, or if it's no way, yep. You start talking about tongues or not, I get it. You know what? we fail to recognize it is Christ and Christ alone.
Amen. Amen, Dale. And we are all limited by our theological perspective. All of us are. And you know what? I could put six different theologians. I could put a Methodist and a Lutheran and a Baptist and a Catholic and a whatever. I put eight of them in a room and argue theology, and they would all be sure they were right. And what would they say? What would they say? Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. I'm right, no, you're wrong.
That is a stinking lousy answer. Yes. Coach, we had this, oh gosh, it infuriates me. We're at work having lunch, and we were talking exactly about our eschatology. And I was telling my elder, I said, you know, I used to believe this way, but I have allowed the Holy Spirit to change me. When I was a child, I acted like a child.
Amen.
I acted like a child, and I thought like a child. I believed the rapture was did blah, blah, blah. Brother, as we grow up, we allow this Holy Spirit to change our thinking. And that kind of debate where six theologians that they have so settled in to their graven theology that you can't change them. And I want to tell you something. On that day, God's going to show us all where we were amiss.
Amen, buddy.
Hey, come.
Yes, sir.
Hey, until we understand and realize that Satan hates every one of us, mm-hmm, from the womb to the tomb, we're missing it.
Well, Alan, it's again, it comes back. Well, I'm sending Jared something. Hang on, bear with me a second. It comes back to this, right? Folks, theology really, really matters. It really, really matters. If we believe that Christ is about to split the eastern sky and we're going to be out of here, I don't. Can I give you an instance? We just closed. We sold our house. The house that Michelle and I owned for 20 years. We closed on it yesterday. We closed on it. Praise the Lord. And I said to Michelle, as we were leaving the closing, I said, are you ever going to go back there? And she looked at me and she said, no, I'm never going to go back there. I said, wow. So whether the pump works or doesn't work, doesn't matter. Whether the driveway's cracked or isn't cracked, doesn't matter anymore, does it? It doesn't matter anymore. Whether the roof leaks, it don't matter anymore. Whether the furnace is, none of that matters anymore, does it? Say, Coach, what are you talking about? Because if you think you are leaving a place, you're not worried about it anymore. You understand what I'm telling you? And so we look around here and we say, oh my goodness, look at the homos are in charge and they were killing babies and the courts are screwed up. Don't worry about it. We won't be here long. We'll be out of here. Theology matters, friends. Theology matters. And we are losing because we don't want to fight. We don't think we can win. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. Jared, I just sent you a new one. Pull that up. Anybody want to respond to that? I don't want to fight with anybody over theology. I don't want to fight with them. I know what I believe. I'm okay with it. You believe what you want to believe. Or as I had a guy say to me one time, you have the right to be wrong. I want to knock out his freaking teeth.
Well, Coach, here's my question, because I know this settles deep in your heart. The heritage which you want to leave, not only your children, but your grandchildren, is that your house selling, that just brought me back. Was it that family that purchased that home? Did you leave that there to move that?
I told him yesterday too. I told him the whole thing yesterday, Dale. I said, you don't have any idea the anointing you guys are walking into. I'm not sure they got it, but
see, Coach, that just made my day. That right there. Because that tells me, Coach, we're not looking horizontally. We're looking vertically. We can do nothing. And brother, where we set the soles of our feet, what you planted in that house, what you're planting in your children, that's what we're fighting for.
That's it, man.
Amen.
Oh, is that ever it? Is that ever it?
Coach, man? You know what's sad, Coach? All the years you were in football, all the years I coached, we had every creed, every color, every denomination, and we all had one goal, man. We all had one goal, and it's so sad that the American church can't wake up and unite. We should have one common goal, and we can't even get one common goal. It's sickening.
No, Alan, can I tell you why? Listen, please don't miss this. Our theology is the focus of our lives. What our theology is the focus of our lives. If we believe in the prosperity gospel, then we think God wants to bless us and we're earning stuff. And if we think we have a sacrificial gospel, then we're constantly looking at where we can plant and where we can serve. If we have an escapism gospel, then we're always looking at how soon we're going to. Our theology matters. It matters. It matters.
Absolutely.
So, David, this is awesome. Daniel Horowitz. I saw this today. Anybody else out there sick of the courts? Anybody out there sick of being run by ungodly, unrighteous courts? Anybody? I know you are.
You know, you said this. They're the ones behind all this stuff. All these laws are against us. All of them.
All of them are against the church. All of them are against the church. Church! That's all right. We're about out of here. Even so, come quickly, Lord. So, Lord, don't come yet. I got some scores I want to settle on your behalf, brother. Lord, on your behalf, I want to settle some scores. I want to settle some scores.
This come quickly means sitting around for the last four decades waiting for that rapture week after week?
By the way, behold, come quickly has to do with speed. That means soon. That means soon. So, I had a little running back. He was really good. He wasn't real strong, and he wasn't real fast, but boy, was he quick, because those ain't the same things. When the scripture says, Lord, come quickly, oh, it'll be quick. It'll be quick for sure. That doesn't mean it's going to be soon, but it'll be quick. It'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. That's what it says. It's going to be quick. So how can time for Trump and conservatives to crush judicial supremacy? Here's how. Scroll down there, Jerry. Thank you. Antonin Scalia said this. Do you think American people will ever have ratified the Constitution if they had been told that the meaning of the document shall be whatever a majority of the Supreme Court says it is? Do we really want to play that game where we get our judges in and we get to put our beliefs in? Or don't we just want the Supreme Court to interpret the Constitution as it says? So Dan Horowitz says, when addressing the concerns of the anti-federalists that the proposed office of president would function like a monarch, Alexander Hamilton detailed a list of stark distinctions between the two powers, between a president and a king, okay? He used the power over immigration as a quintessential example of distinguishing the power of a president over a power of a king. Hamilton said, the one, a president, can confer no privileges whatsoever. The president can give nobody any privileges. The king can make citizens of aliens. And that's something they wrote that back in Federalist number 69. Well, Hamilton never accounted for post-constitutional era. We're in a post-constitutional era. But hey, because we're in a post-biblical era. I don't miss that connection. He never accounted for the post-constitutional era where the federal courts would also be able to make citizens of aliens. It's not even worth delving into the details of today's 5-4 decision, Supreme Court, that President Trump cannot rescind an illegal executive. Obama's executive order was illegal. It's illegal, okay? And Trump wants to undo his illegal amnesty. And the court said, no, you can't do that. That's illegal. I mean, we're sick, folks. We're sick. The question for Trump and the conservatives heading forward from here is where do we go from here? Now that so many have realized what I've been warning about for years, namely that the minute you agree to the premise of judicial supremacism, in other words, the Supreme Court has the final word. As soon as you agree to that, that the courts stand above all the other branches in deciding fundamentally political questions, no amount of appointing better judges will rectify a judicial North Korea. The solution is to uproot the concept of judicial supremacism altogether. You get that, folks? Courts are not the final judge. Courts are not the final judge. So Trump should defy the court, right? No. The courts are defying the law. We got this backwards, folks. The courts are breaking the law. The courts are breaking the law. And 130 years of their own settled law that illegal aliens have no standing to sue for a right. You can't sue for a right if you're here illegally. Moreover, as Hamilton noted in Federal 78, the courts must ultimately depend upon the aid of the executive arm for the efficacy of its judgments. Thus, Trump declining to... Trump should tell them, go pound sand. Why? They are breaking law. I'm not going to read this whole thing. You can read it if you want to. The courts are breaking the law. Folks, the courts are breaking the law. The courts are violating the Constitution. The courts are violating the Constitution. Why are we following unconstitutional court rulings? That's why is the church following unconstitutional? Yes.
Yeah, can I add in? We're going pro-life witnessing this morning, and we're thinking the status here in Ohio. Now, the state of Ohio passed the dismemberment abortion bill and the heartbeat bill, which would go a long way for stopping the torturous killing of little babies in the state of Ohio. And then the baby killers, the abortion chambers, they sued our Attorney General, David Yost, and they stopped the enforcement of these laws. And now it's before the Sixth District Court of Appeals. And it's like it's no big deal, no emergency. Little babies being torturously killed. This is, you know, no big thing. We're in no big rush. Boy, it is really sick. We're praying for Attorney General Yost and this battle. The lawsuit's directly against our Attorney General, David Yost.
Yes, sir. But, you know, here's the ultimate problem. The ultimate problem, folks. God bless you for what you're doing. Ken, right? Is it Ken? Bless you,
yes.
Ken. God bless you, Ken. Yes, sir. What's the church doing about it? You mean to tell me that God Almighty is seeing the murder of his unborn babies and would say to us, hey, go work hard to get the right judges in. And until you get the right judges in, we're just going to have to live with the killing of babies. Do any of us really believe that to be true? Why doesn't the slaughter of unborn babies bother churches?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Is a majority of pastors using abortion themselves? Is that what the problem is, Coach? Are they a fool of fornication and adultery? Are they using it themselves to cover up their sin? Is that why we can't get rid of
it? No, it's cowardice. Because I'm telling you right now, I know about right now about three things that I could do. Three things that I could do possibly to stop abortion. And there's only one reason I won't do any of them. Does anybody know what that is? Anybody know why I won't do three things I think maybe I could do to stop abortion?
Well, I would believe that the Holy Spirit inside of you is that you do not return evil for evil. You know that, and I'm not going to sit here and try to nitpick or do other three, but I know exactly what your heart is, brother. And I can tell you what, God's heart burns fervorously over this thing, even that much more so.
Dale, should I return good for evil? So evil for evil comes down to what we define evil as being, doesn't it? I'll tell you why I don't do it. Because I know what's going to cost me. And nothing else. I'll know what it's going to cost me. And I just confess to all of you right here, I love me more than I love those little babies. You can put it any other way you want to. I love myself. My comfort, my creature comforts, my family and my grandkids, I justify it, say, well, my grandkids need me. My grandkids need me. Coach, if you do that, oh my goodness, your life's over. Yeah, I know. I'm not planning to do anything. I'm having these conversations with myself. They are killing babies. You know it, and I know it. And our answer is to wait 40 more years for the right judges? Really? What if they were killing your child? David, I'd sure like to help you, but the courts say I can't. Doggone it. I'm going to vote Republican, though, David. They won't get anybody else's kids, though, David. What the hell's wrong with us? Some of you got madder, right? Because I said H-E-L-L. Some of you get madder about that than about the killing of the babies. Come on in here, somebody. I'm just kind of spewing today. You know,
hey, coach.
You know I'm telling you the truth. Hey, folks, is there anybody out there that doesn't believe that the unborn child is a human being? Anybody out there? Raise your hand. If you believe it, it's because you're deceiving yourself and truth is not in you, right? Everybody knows that's a human being. Everybody knows that's a human being. Everybody knows that it's a murder of an innocent human being. Everybody knows that, and nobody does anything about it.
Well, no, that's not true. The soul doesn't enter the baby until it's
it's not prescient. It's not prescient. It can't feel pain. We can kill it because it can't feel pain. We can kill it because we got the mother's approval. We can kill it because we're unbelievable.
It's just a lump of cells, coach.
The church I'm referring to, right? And so the we're in the mess that we're in because the salt's lost its savor. The salt has totally complete. You folks, you understand that the United States Supreme Court is anti-Christ. Do you understand that? Until we come to that realization that this is an anti-Christian government. Hey, it's an anti-Christian government. Who's being persecuted? Law-abiding, God-fearing people. This is a Christ-hating government. The church has always been in conflict with an evil government. Always. Not anymore. Not anymore. Church is in bed with this government now.
It's easy to convince 9 men in black robes than it is 500 and something people of the representatives. That's why we're seeing this. To do something in the House and Senate, forget about it. We just need to go after these 9 guys because right there we can legislate from that bench.
Yep. So Dale, how about this one, folks? I live outside of Columbus, Ohio. Columbus. Christopher Columbus. Columbus. Our mayor, the mayor of Columbus, Andrew Ginther, just on the steps of our city hall, there's a huge, huge statue of Christopher Columbus, given to us by the Italians back in 1850, sometime long time ago. Statue has been there forever. Well, they're taking it down. Now, can somebody help me here? Where does Andrew Ginther get the right to order that statue be taken down? Does anybody know? Does nobody care? Nobody care about that? About our history? Should we change the name of Columbus? Can we not be Columbus anymore? Columbus State University is taking down a statue of Christopher Columbus. Columbus State University. Columbus State University.
Coach, does he own that statue?
Does he own it, Gary?
Yeah, does he own the statue? What gives him the right? He don't own that statue.
He don't own that statue. No. Where does he get the authority? Because, see, that's the problem, isn't it? America is all about overstepping authority. There is no authority. What George Carlin say? Government's a big club and you ain't in it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, besides praying for Attorney General David Yost, also I'd like to encourage, as far as I know, it looks like David Yost is a Bible-believing Christian from a good Bible-believing church. And I'd like to encourage people to give him a call at his office and encourage him in the battle for the heartbeat bill. The heartbeat bill was up to be an arrow in the heart of Roe v. Wade. And so I'd just like to encourage people to call his office and encourage him. Say, we encourage you. We'd like to encourage the Attorney General in the battle for the heartbeat bill.
That would be a noble thing to do, Kim, but I got one question. Why didn't he close down Planned Parenthood during the pandemic?
He tried. He put out a cease and desist. They got Michael Barrett of the 6th District Federal Court that overturned him. And then they had a 3-judge panel. He made an emergency appeal to the 6th District Court of Appeals, and they had a 3-judge panel that also overturned him.
Oh, so you mean they had a special effort to make sure that Planned Parenthood stayed open?
Attorney General Yost did what he could do. I mean, he could have overstepped the federal court and sent in federal marshals.
Why didn't they? Why didn't
they? The sheriff. Because of his commitment to the rule of law.
They're breaking the law. They're breaking the law. Yes. Murdering babies is against the law. They are breaking the law. See, we've got our mindset all wrong. I'm not arguing with you, Ken. We got our mindset all wrong. Folks, killing unborn babies is a violation of the law. It is not the law. It is not the law. It's not the law, church.
It's murder.
Not the law, church. We got it backwards. Amen. They are breaking the law. Government is breaking the law. Government is breaking the law. We're supposed to be those who support and enforce and uphold the law. Who? The church. Government is breaking the law. And we're banning them.
He's breaking God's. He's breaking God's law. Thou shalt not bleed. Whatever. Not shed innocent blood. Period.
So again, it comes back to saying that we're about out of time. I feel like I'm singing the same song. You guys know this, right? I know you guys know this, right? If those denominations could get together, all of these things would go away. Yeah, there ought to be. Lord, give me the platform, Lord. I'd like to drive 1 million people to SCOTUS. And circle SCOTUS and say, we are not leaving until Kavanaugh resigns, Roberts resigns. That, folks, that's the way we used to do things before government got so big. Remember pitchforks? You heard of pitchforks and torches? That's the way it used to be done. Why don't we do that anymore? Oh, I know why. It's against the law. It's against the law. What law? That pretended legislation that they made. The law of God. Why won't the church uphold the law of God? Why does the church ignore the law of God, making it personal, only personally? I personally would never kill a baby, but who am I to tell someone else what they can do? What? What? No, no. It is a civil law. Thou shalt not murder applies anywhere, everywhere, in all moments. Thou shalt not murder unless you're not married and got in the backseat and fornicated and have a child you don't want, and then it's legal. We have lost our mind. Government laws are a reflection of the hearts of the people, and the hearts of the people are a reflection of their relationship with Christ. That is the truth.
Amen.
We bow to government. We bow to government. The church acts hopeless, helpless, and powerless. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Now, y'all, go. Because see, we don't understand authority. The devil is already under our feet. Already. Already right now. But we won't get out of our houses or out of our churches to go tramp on his head. We won't do it. We want to love them all into the... Let's just pray for Mayor Ginther. Pray for him, and maybe he won't tear down Christopher Columbus. Maybe he'll have a change of heart. He'd probably have a change of heart if 10,000 of us showed up outside of his office. I bet that would change his heart.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, MMUnited.com, Last Call Radio, we have it on good authority that Columbus is going to change the name of the city. And we have the new name. I won't reveal it now, but tomorrow morning, we're going to give the folks the new name for Columbus, Ohio. MMUnited.org, last call. 10 a.m.
Good tease, Jim. Good tease. A lot going on. Hey, Bob Evans is coming to help me. We're about ready to get that cross up here at Sky High. Bob's coming to be part of it today, man. That cross is going up at Sky High. It's going to overlook all of Buckeye Lake area. It's going to be lighted. Everybody's going to know that there is a king in Israel, and Jesus Christ is his name.
Praise God bless
you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you. No, not Sunday morning. No, I'm not doing Sunday morning service. No. No. Too much stuff going on. Sorry. No Sunday morning service. Bless you. Yeah, hey, go someplace else. Go watch somebody else. I'm not. This is, anyway, I'll shut up. I'm getting myself in trouble. Bless you. See you Monday.